kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title for our teaching today, to share and exhort, and I'm calling our teaching today, Is God speaking with you? It takes us a long time, I think, when we become a new creation in Christ and we are filled with His Spirit. It takes a time to actually learn that God wants to commune with us. So often, when we come to the Lord, it's such a traumatic change, a turnaround in which it is. And so much is started to be revealed. We are seeing things in a different way that we hadn't seen before. The Word of God becomes alive to us. And there are many things that go on. But we're not so good and we're not so sure with God actually speaking and communing with us. Somehow that seems to be too far away in our thinking. That's something too grand, too big. That's just for special people that are called to do a job. Somehow it's not for the church. It's certainly not for me. And my hearing from God comes through those whom God calls and places in the pulpit, the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. God speaks to them, and that's how I hear God. That's how He speaks to me. And very often, we take this thinking, this attitude with us, and it can remain with us for a long time in our walk as a Christian. And I want to dispel that thinking and idea, because it can lead to a form of idolatry. And sadly, that is prevalent in the house of God. And it comes very often because believers are not really hearing themselves what God is saying. That is why I stress so much in the book of Revelation, when it opens up with those first few chapters where the admonitions are to those seven churches, and every one of them ends with, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." In other words, it is saying, are you hearing what God is saying? And it is important that we hear, obviously, both individually and corporately, because there are many voices that are speaking now in these last days. And we know that the enemy is very vocal, very deceiving. So it is important that you are hearing personally what God is saying to you. And remember that God will never go contrary to His word. So that is a way we can discern, we can test what God is saying. And I want to take our teaching today on this in Exodus chapter 20. And I want to just briefly explain what's going on here in the context of this chapter. the people are revealing a problem. They have been journeying through the wilderness. They have escaped Pharaoh, his bondage, chasing after them, trying to bring them back into Egypt. They've escaped all of that. They are on their journey. And God wants to now speak to them. God wants to introduce the law. And they come to Mount Sinai, and there Moses goes up onto the mount there for 40 days, and he communes with God. And the children of Israel are to stay in their camps, but they are only allowed to go so far. They cannot touch the mount, else they will be struck dead. And during this time, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And we take the story up in Exodus 20, verse 19. And here it says, "Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" So verse 18 speaks about that they witnessed, they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and flashes and the sounds of the trumpets and the mount smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And Moses says in verse 20, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you." And so it goes on. So Moses immediately understands what's going on. It's that usual thing. It's that fear. And that fear worked within them, that they didn't want to hear God for themselves, but they wanted to hear what God was saying through Moses. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, "Is God speaking with you?" That is the question. Because fear was manifesting. God's word had spoken. He had given the Ten Commandments. This was something strange, something different. They weren't used to this, even though God has called them as a nation. Yet they were not used to God speaking in this way. And what got in the way was fear and unbelief. And at times we can do the same. We just don't listen. We go through the motions. We have our prayer time. We open our Bibles. But we're not always listening to what God is saying. We can come to meetings like this today, but are we listening to what God is saying? You see, he gives his commandments, he gives his word, but there are just times we don't listen. It's not necessarily willful, it's not deliberate, it's revealing that we just don't love and respect him as we should. And that is the problem. We may have had a rough week, or things didn't go as we had planned, or whatever it is. And so we can bring that attitude, we can bring that bondage, and we can bring that into the presence of God. We can bring it into a meeting. We can bring it when we have our quiet time before him. And it's not necessarily, it's not willful, it's not deliberate. It's just revealing I'm not really having that love and respect for him as I should. Because if I did, I would be hearing what God is speaking, what he is saying. That's why we say that faith comes by hearing the word of God, reading, hearing that word. But there are times we are just not holding him in reverence, in awe, as we should. Because sometimes the flesh gets in the way, or we have had a bad week, or I'm battling depression, or I'm having to overcome something that a saint said to me, or whatever it is. You know it, you've been through it, I've been through it, and it's just we don't love and respect him as we should. And the children of Israel were revealing a problem. Let's read it again in verse 19. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear." So there we are. They'll hear a man, but they won't hear from God. "But let not God speak with us, lest we die." So look at all that fear that's coming out, that unbelief. They don't have that same stand that Moses had. Moses was a type of overcomer. He's a type of son of God, which God is making you and I into. Where you hear from God, I hear from God. He speaks to you, he speaks to me, he speaks to the body of Christ. And of course, he speaks in many ways. We know that we don't expect God to always speak audibly. He can, and he does, but he speaks in many ways. And the point is, you know when he speaks. You know when he's speaking to you, it's personally to you. There are many times he will speak to you that he doesn't speak in the same way to the body of Christ, and rightly so. But the children of Israel were not going to have it. They couldn't deal with that fear. And that was always their problem. They weren't dealing with what God was trying to expose. And we do the same. God allows us to go through situations in which to expose whatever it is that's hindering our faith. And many times we don't deal with it. We don't really see it. We just explain it away, or it's just part of my makeup, or I've always been like that. You see, the enemy's clever. The enemy tries to make it that it's you. It's your makeup. It's your personality. "Oh, my mother, she suffered with a lot of fear and unbelief," and so on. Well, you don't have to. That is the point. That is why God heals us and delivers us, for the very purpose that he can have fellowship with us, that he can commune with us. The very reason that we are under an end time message of faith and the deeper life to deliver us and heal us is for the very purpose that God can speak to you, that he can have fellowship with you, because demons stop that. They try to hinder that relationship that you have with God, because the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like God speaking to you, because when he reveals himself to you, he's opening your eyes. He's exposing the powers of darkness. He's dividing. And that is why he attacks. He attacks us because he doesn't want God speaking with you. This isn't rocket science. And yet we can so miss it. We can so misinterpret our trials and our tests and our tribulations. God is allowing most of your trials, my trials, for the purpose that you can hear him speak to you, that he can reveal himself to you. That's what it's about. Because the devil doesn't want God communing with the house of God in these last days. But praise God, he's one step ahead. And that is what characterizes the sons of God in these last days. The sons of God will hear God speak, because they have been delivered from fear, from unbelief, that will always cause you to run away. And it will cause you to look to man to try and get your revelation. It will always cause you to look to man. What is God saying? And God is delivering us from that. You are destined for the throne of God as overcomers. And overcomers have that stand with God. That is what this is about. That is what growing up is about. And that is why Jesus sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to do this very work, to have the same stand that Jesus had with his Father, that you have also. Here it is in John 14, verses 15 to 18. John 14, 15 to 18. We're calling our teaching today, Is God Speaking With You? Here it is, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. It's interesting, we had that lovely song that was introducing that verse for us. See, God knows, he always goes before and prepares the way, doesn't he? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. What wonderful verses they are. What a comfort that is to us. What a faith building that is, that God will commune, that God will speak with you. That is what he says there, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they cannot hear. They're deaf to it. And yet we sometimes can do exactly the same. And why do we do it? Because we don't love and respect him and revere him as we should. That God has saved me to commune with me, to speak to me, direct. That is awesome. You cannot get your mind round that. And are we going to do what the children of Israel did? No. I don't want to hear God speak to me, but I'll listen to his servants. And that's what we do. That's what we do, and we become so reliant on God's servants. What will you do if maybe for a season God doesn't speak through his servants? He puts them to one side. He can do that so that you hear for yourself. And that's why God has to sometimes expose our ignorance that is in us. You see, we often want to hear from God, but we want to hear through someone else. And God is saying, I am not always going to speak through that vessel. I want to speak direct to you. But you don't love me enough. You don't trust me enough. You're still looking to the world and trusting in the arm of the flesh. I think, brothers and sisters, one of the things we really are learning, aren't we, in this walk, what a deliverance it is taking to get us to totally trust God. It's taken far longer than we ever thought with us. And it shouldn't have. But that's fear and unbelief that does that. It's because we don't love him yet enough. We still love our own lives, our own independence, my planning, my future, what I want to do. And that's why God fouls it up. That's why things don't seem to be working that you want, that you hope for. It seems as though God's not answering my prayers. He's not made a mistake. He's weakening you. He's weakening me for the very purpose so that it is God who builds in my life and your life. He gets all the glory, not you. And eventually we get it, and eventually we let go, and we let God be God. And then we repent because we didn't love and respect him enough. And that is our problem. And then we don't depend on listening to what man is saying or whatever. You see, we like to hear the testimonies. We like to hear the teachings. We like to listen to our videos and messages and exhortations. And that has a place. Don't get me wrong. But all of that should be pointing to what the Holy Spirit is saying. That is the point. All of that should be encouraging you to be able to hear what God is speaking and saying to you personally. It's so sad that often when we ask how things are going and how's your walk with the Lord and so on, it's amazing what comes out of our mouth, what consumes our time and our thinking. And what comes out? Oh, it's about the job, oh, it's about the family, or crisis in the family, or jobs that need doing around the house, or whatever. Well, they all have that place, but is that all we can talk about? The one whom we are united to, God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is that all that ever comes out of our mouth? The point is, we're not hearing what God is saying. I'm not listening to him. He's trying to get my attention, but I'm too busy doing my own thing. And there is the problem. Because if we do hear what God is saying, and if he is speaking to us or whatever, you cannot help but speak that out. Because what God is revealing to you, what he's speaking to you, sometimes is to share, to encourage, to heal, to deliver. That's what should be coming out of us. Those rivers of living water flowing out through us. And what comes out instead, oh, is what God can't do today. And he's given us these promises. Do we talk about them? Do we share them? Do they come out in our conversation and whatever? Not always. Why is it? Why is it? Because we don't love and respect him enough. This is one of the most disrespectful generations on planet Earth that we live in. Little respect now for anything and anyone. Because it's falling away. And we've been victims of it. It's damaged us. But God's restoring us and healing us. And where does he do it first? Right in the mind, the thinking. That is why in the commandments you respect your parents with a promise. But that respect is going. Shove them out. Put them out on the streets. Put them in a home. And so on. That's the attitude today. Because it cramps my lifestyle. It cramps my future. What I want to do. You see, God is not going to have that in his house. Not at all. You see, God wants to bring testimonies out of you and I. He wants to work through you and I. He wants to touch this dying world through you and I. But how can he if we're not hearing from God? We've got nothing to tell to them. We've got nothing to share with them. Because the world out there knows when you are speaking genuine and when you are not. And many Christians, all they do is just parrot the word of God. They recite the verses. And I'll tell you something, that will put them off quicker than anything. And it's not to say that the word of God is not valid. So hear me for what I'm saying. But God gives us the ability to be able to move alongside, to be able to move into the presence of people as he leads and guides us. And he will give us that discernment, that wisdom, that sensitivity in what to say. And why does he do that? How does he do that? Because you hear what God is saying. You are in tune. He's communing with you in that situation. It's whether we yield over to it. And we are sensitive to his presence. Because when God leads you into a situation, God knows all about that. Those very people or that person you are sharing or talking or witnessing to, he's made and created that person. So he knows everything about that situation. And many, many times you see that coming out in Jesus' ministry. And it confounded the disciples. They had a problem with Jesus because he wasn't religious. That was their problem. And God was bringing them out of religion. And of course, many times he took them to one side to expound. And then they saw the deeper meaning. In other words, they were beginning to hear what God was saying. And there is the difference. And this so lacks today in the house of God. And it's so sad when you think we have Bibles, we have the revelation of God's word, we can go online, we can have our videos and our messages and our teachings and testimonies. We've got all this wealth at our disposal, and yet saints don't hear God for themselves. It's a shame. It's something I think we have to repent on, because we've become so reliant on it, and the enemy uses it. And what can become is a blessing can start to become a curse. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes, as I said, we don't love and respect him as we should. But could it be that when he does speak, he wants me to do what he says? So sometimes it's better just not to hear as I should hear. Because we know that we are not only to be hearers, but doers of the word. You see, when it's a person or a teacher or a minister that's speaking, somehow it's optional. Somehow it's not imperative. We say, well, that's your own idea, although I can't deny it, and probably it is what God is saying, and I did hear and see in the word what he was saying, but somehow it's optional. It's not imperative. You see, we can have that attitude. And we can have that same attitude with God. And that's why we don't hear him like we should. You see, very often our lack of hearing and ignoring what he's saying is that we heap it on him. In other words, we send it back. We put it back on God because we don't really want to hear. Or there's that unbelief, that fear. So we make excuses. I've never, in my experience, when I was back in the denominations, when God was beginning to bring me out of that bondage, one of the things that so characterized was that when God spoke, and he was speaking in those days, as he was speaking to me, it was so easy to heap it back on God, because that's the minister or the teacher's view. Without ever seeking God, what he's saying, or were you speaking to me, Lord, through that man, through that teacher? Were you getting my attention? If we had done that more often, we would start to hear what God is saying. But we are so quick at making our own choices and our opinions. And the biggest problem that goes on in the house of God is throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And we are all guilty of it. Instead of waiting, listening, what is God saying? What does he want to say to me? This is how a church becomes discerning and tests and hears what the Spirit is saying. This, of course, is what the Lord was challenging those seven churches in Asia Minor. The very same thing. And notice the challenge, the warning, is in the book of Revelation that speaks of the end times. So it reveals to us, because we believe we are in the end times, it's rapidly closing now. So the warning is, are we hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church? That is the challenge. Because if we are, we're going to understand the book of Revelation. We are going to be able to discern and read the times that we're in. Because God is speaking to me. You see, once I hear what God is saying to me, he returns it back to show just how disrespectful and humiliating it is to him. When finally our eyes and ears and hearts are open and I hear what he's saying, it immediately goes back and we understand just how disrespectful it has been. I have not listened to my Father as I should have. Jesus constantly revealed his respect, his love for his Father, because he heard, he did and said only that which he revealed. And God's doing this with us, brothers and sisters. And this is going to be such a building of faith in your life and my life. This is the foundation that we stand on, the rock of Jesus Christ. When we hear, then we respond. And when we respond, we wonder why it took such a long time, why I was so obstinate. And that is where we can repent. That is where we can apologize and we can get it right, because you see, God loves us. He doesn't give up on us. Much of God's patience and long-suffering is that we hear him. He's trying to speak to us. And he doesn't give up. And he'll keep on, and he'll keep on till eventually you hear. That is God's love and mercy. What does it say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what it means. It's not so much repenting, being born again, where what we did, it's in our walk with God, where we just need to repent because we've not been listening. We're not listening to God when he's speaking. That is the problem. And so he's long-suffering, he's merciful. And this always, when we hear our Father speak, it always leads to true repentance, not just to lip service. Romans 4, verse 4. Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So there we are. We finally hear. We finally experience. God has been patient. He's been merciful with me. I wasn't listening as I should. Too occupied in other things. But finally I hear. I've heard his voice. And when we hear his voice, it always comes with healing, deliverance, salvation. That is the nature of how he speaks. When he speaks, it's always redemptive. It's to build us, to heal us, to bring us closer to him in that fellowship, that unity and oneness. That's always what he's doing with us, because he's restored in our salvation, bringing us back into fellowship, commune with him. As he did with Adam and Eve when he created and made them to reside in the garden. He created those conditions for fellowship, to commune with them, to talk with them. That is what he's restoring now to us through Jesus Christ. That is your dominion. That is what you were created for. That is your birthright. To commune with your heavenly Father. Are you going to let the devil steal your birthright? Because that's what he's trying to do. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's given you that boldness, that access that Adam Eve had with God. He's restored that back through Jesus Christ, and it is so disrespectful and humiliating when we don't believe in that. We need to wake up what we're doing to him at times. And yet he still loves us, opens his arms out to us, ever wooing us, speaking to us, getting our attention. And finally, we get it. And when we get it, we realize we have to act upon this. I said so often, and I'll say it again, the most busiest saints don't really know this. And that is the problem. There's so many in the house of God are busy, 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 busy. And often with that environment, and I know because I came out of it, you often find there is strife, arguments, and so on. There's full of strife in that environment because they're all so busy they don't hear from God. Their only hearing from God is through a minister, flesh, man. It's not enough for God. It's not enough for him. And that's what he's saying. I'm not going to have it. I won't have a relationship built on you hearing what man is saying. I want a fellowship with you and you alone, you and me. That is what he's asking. That is what sonship is. That is what the man-child is being prepared for. For that one-to-one relationship. You know, don't be discouraged by this. I know it's got our name and address on this teaching. I'm very aware of it because it certainly had my name and address on it. But don't be discouraged because Jesus had to learn all these things as well. He had to go through this. For example, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. There we are. So he also had to learn, but he was growing, he was maturing, developing. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 6 to 11? Hebrews 5, 6 to 11. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, he was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There we are. His sufferings worked in him obedience for the very purpose that he had been made perfect. He came to completion so the Father could receive him as that offering. And it's a type of same with us. It's exactly what he's doing with us. So the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings that you go through, I go through, are for this very purpose. For a relationship with God. So that you hear what he's saying to you. What is it saying? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Sufferings. Your sufferings are bringing you in to a personal relationship with Almighty God. Your sufferings are working so that you hear God speak to you personally. Because you are never the same when he speaks in that way. Faith comes when God speaks to you personally, and on what he reveals, what he says, you act upon. And then in those conditions, you cannot disbelieve, even if you try, because you have had the witness, you have heard, you know without a shadow of a doubt. Unbelief can't even enter. That is the faith God is working within us. So that when God says you go and raise that person from the dead, you go and you know that it will be done because your Father has said so. When you go and pray for the sick or cast out those demons, you know because your Father has said so. That is how Jesus walked. He said, I do only that which the Father reveals, because he heard his Father speak. And you must hear your Father speak to you personally. It's not going to happen otherwise. The Word of God, the promises of God, are a springboard to you hearing your Father speak personally. And when he speaks you, he will not go contrary to his word. The word which is in your heart will be a confirmation to when God speaks to you. Because you cannot divide the word of God. You cannot divide when God speaks and when you read his word, because they agree together. This is what this is about, brothers and sisters. And then we will find what comes out of us edifies, builds, and people will know that you have been with God. They don't always know that we're with God because we speak so often like the world and what they go through. We have to rise above this. Let the Spirit do it. God hasn't made a mistake. God hasn't made a mistake today. I'm seeing all these amens because you know the Spirit is speaking to us. And it's what he wants to do with us. So don't let's doubt him. Don't let's hinder. Don't let's stop him. Just let him do it. And the way that he does it, we let go. And how do you let go? In your trials, in your sufferings. That's how it's done. I was only saying this the other day in counselling. Someone going through trials, tests. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I come through this? I said, you let go. And then God can speak. Then God can take over. And he does. He does. That same person had their name down, had booked for the vaccine. And God spoke to them and said, go online and look to see if this vaccine has used an aborted fetus. And this person did this and went on the NHS line. And reading down, it said, no human tissue, cells has been used. And the Spirit said to him, carry on through, wade through it all. You see, this is how the devil does it, doesn't he? We want quick answers. And carried on, and there it was. The experiment, yes, was from an aborted fetus. And they took the cells from the kidneys. Got the answer, you see. God spoke. And they cancelled their vaccination. We have to let God speak. We want those instant answers. And God doesn't work that way. God speaks to us personally. And that is why it is the school of waiting. This is why Jesus went to one side and waited and was still before his Father for the very purpose to hear him speak. And the Spirit will lead and guide us. God isn't into instant answers, which technology gives us. It's the devil's lie. There's no easy ways through all of this. We have to go the way God plans and purpose. It was the same for the children of Israel. They had to go through the wilderness. They tried to go a different way. They tried to avoid it. It simply brought more bondage. And in the end, they landed 40 years in the wilderness. It shouldn't have been that long, because they wanted to do it their way. They didn't want to hear God speak. They could only accept God speak through Moses. But of course, God was meeting them where they were. They were pagan in many ways. They were barbaric. It's what sin had done. And it took time to get them delivered and so on. And exactly the same. That's the patience, the long-suffering, the mercy of God. We were the same. But look how he builds us. Look how he raises us up in Christ Jesus. It's a miracle. That's why I say, as I close now, our whole life and walk as Christians is miraculous. We're a miracle. We're in the hands of the greatest potter, moulding this clay, a vessel of honour, filled with his glory. We mustn't disrespect him, dishonour him anymore. It grieves him. He wants us to trust him. He wants to speak to us. It's your birthright. It's what you are destined for. And when man speaks, when a minister, teacher speaks, it's simply confirming what God has already said. This message today should be a confirmation, because God has gone before to prepare the way. And it's simply confirming what God is saying, what he's doing with me. And that's why we can get excited. We can say, Amen. Thank you, Father. Because that is how the Holy Spirit works. The devil doesn't work that way. He always cuts across and shocks us. Or we jolt. It's like slamming the brakes on in a car. You know, it can be quite alarming when that happens. When you're going along, you know, casually and so forth, and suddenly something or someone runs in front and slam the brakes on, you know, you brace yourself and your heart beats, you know, and it's disturbing. That's how the devil works, in a subtle way. God doesn't work that way. He's gently, lovingly leading us along like the great shepherd does with the sheep. But he'll warn us when the predator is around. He'll call us. He'll gather us together. And sometimes we have to gather together. We have to stay close together because the predators are around. And I'm going to tell you something. With this COVID, with this lockdown and what's going on at the moment, the wolves are around. The predator is around. And that's why God has called us in, to protect us at this present time of what's going on. Hallelujah. God never makes a mistake, trust me. But you are destined for the throne. You are the sons of God. You have a birthright. You have a privilege. The greatest blessing, not only of salvation, but that God speaks to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, remove whatever fears, hindrances that we can still have. Help us. We want to respect, we want to revere, we want to love you. We don't want to turn our ears away. But Lord, you know at times we do it. And sometimes we're not aware that we do it. Please help us. You would not speak to us today unless you have also brought healing and deliverance with this message. And I thank you, Father, you are doing that. You will do that. Because you love us. You have saved us. not only for fellowship, but also for a purpose and a reason. And so we thank you for our fellowship. Thank you today, Lord, for bringing us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And may your blessing ever be upon us. You'll preserve and keep us when we go out, when we come in. And that your light will shine through us. That wherever we go, you will give us the words, the wisdom, the unction of the Spirit. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.